The first sermon in the series of Connecting with God is going to be a message on connecting with God through prayer. There's going to be three sections: connecting with God through prayer, connecting to God through His Word, and connecting to God through quiet or through silence. So there's going to be four messages on each of those. And this one is going to be connecting to God through prayer. We're going to start out with the purpose of prayer. And as we begin the purpose of prayer, there's no better place to start out in Scripture about the purpose of prayer than Matthew chapter 6. And verses 5 through 13. But first, I wanted to share with you a question was asked of people, Americans, what they believe and how they practice their faith. And in Newsweek and BeliefNet, they asked just over 1,000 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. And one of the questions was this: what do you think is the most important purpose of prayer? And their responses were pretty good, actually. The first came in first place. 27% said to seek God's guidance. Pretty good answer. Second was 23% said to thank God. Pretty normal. Third was 19% to be close to God or the divine. 19%. Fourth was 13% to help others. Fifth was 9% to improve a person's life. Sixth was other, 4%. And seventh was, I just don't know, 5%. So, what is the purpose of prayer? As we get going, the purpose of prayer, let's read the scripture. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All right. That's pretty simple to say, but we go back here, and you see, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corners to just yell out these prayers, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not like so-and-so, I'm like this, is what he was speaking of, that sort of thing. And then you get down here, and he says, the babbling on, these repetitive words, is oh, Heavenly Father, oh, you are so great, you are so wonderful, you are so da 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 da. And but when it says go into your room, that doesn't necessarily mean physically. It's not bad to have like a special place to go into and pray. Not saying that, but it also doesn't mean that you have to go into a special room and shut the door and pray. For some, that's a great way to pray because that's your only way of actually getting away and shutting out the world. But it doesn't have to be that way. For you, it may be on your way to work, driving down the road, that little car, truck, whatever. For me, that was the greatest thing when I was in Baltimore because for 40 minutes, I was driving down the road, just constant. It was a wonderful way of praying. 5:30 in the morning, driving down the Beltway, no traffic around me. Now, on the way home, it was a different story. I was praying for the salvation of all those cutting me off. So, and also asking for forgiveness when I... So, never mind. Moving on. So, the purpose of prayer. There is a special thing, but I want to show you what this whole babbling thing and all this stuff is. When we talk to God, do we talk to God like He's our friend? Do we talk to Him like He's our best friend? Because that's the way He wants us to talk to Him. Or do we approach Him like He's some unapproachable person? Think about that as we watch this.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, great and mighty Phil. Bountiful is your DVD collection, and magnificent is your house.
Huh?
The neighbors rejoice in your presence, and delight in your cookouts.
What are you doing?
Your landscape lighting breaks the darkness, and reveals the hibiscus to the nation.
Come on, Bob, get up.
Hear me now, Phil, as I proclaim your greatness to the Homeowners Association. With your mighty feet, you stomp out the serpent and the fire ant.
Do you want something?
Oh, great and awesome Phil. Only you can fulfill the promise of a luscious lawn.
Lawn...
With great awe and trembling, I seek your wisdom and your tools.
What tools?
Oh, merciful master of the perfect fertilizer blend. I seek your will as to the length of my lawn.
Hang on a second.
Only you know the perfect length for optimal water absorption.
Bob, stop.
I lay my lawn at your feet.
Bob, stop. Do you want to borrow my lawnmower?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Now, is that how we approach God? I mean, do we really think we need to go through all of that to tell Him how much we love Him and how much we adore Him before we just get to the point? Sure, we love and adore Him, but man, see it from that perspective. It's ridiculous. And God sees it from that perspective too. Come on. What are you doing? I'm God, yeah, but come on. Just get to the point. What do you think it's going to do? You think it's going to make me answer your prayer any better because of all this stuff you... Oh, mighty master of the lawn. You think I'm going to lend you my lawnmower any better because you come up buttering me up? Now, if all that stuff was maybe from the heart or something, and there's true adoration necessary... Yeah, Lord, I love you. Yes, I adore you. But, I mean, to waste all this time and, babbling on and on and on about all this stuff about who He was. Is that what prayer is all about? No. I know who God is. I know what He is. God knows that. God knows who He is. Do we have to tell Him? No. If He knows who He is, and we know who He is, and He knows we know who He is, do we have to waste time in prayer telling Him? Exactly. Thank you, Alexis. Exactly. So there's an Acts model of prayer, and that's what I want to go over with you. The first letter in the Acts model of prayer is adoration, yes. And it's modeled in the... In the Lord's Prayer, yes, we need to adore Him. But look, Jesus doesn't even waste time in telling us we got to go all out and give Him all this. Hallowed be your name. Yes, your kingdom come, your will be done. Boom. Short and to the point. Acknowledge who He is. Yes. Heavenly Father, address Him for who He is. But you don't have to pour out all this gobbledygook. All you need to do is address Him who He is, respect Him, Yes. But talk to him like he's your friend. Don't put him out here as he's some unreachable person, because if you're praying to him like he's that, then why are you even approaching him? Then you know what? If you're praying to him like he's some unreachable thing, then you have no hope, because you basically already in your heart say, you know what? My prayer has no hope, because I can't even approach this person, this God. He is unapproachable by me. Jesus made it so that we can approach him face to face. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a sacrificial system. The veil was ripped in two in the Holy of Holies. We can approach God face to face now. And we can say, Heavenly Father, you know what? My life has been terrible. I need you to help me in this. I don't have to just pour out all this junk in the hopes that he'll be flattered by me and say, oh, you hit me. Oh, you got me. All that's exactly what, oh, you scratched my itch right there. Oh, can you give me one of those, master of the universe again? Thank you. No. Just I love you is all he wants to hear. So adore him. Adoration. Expressing adoration. God is certainly worthy of our praise and adoration. And while we can praise God in song, we can also praise him in our prayer. But it doesn't have to be overdone, or you run the risk of exactly what Jesus said before he went into the Lord's Prayer here, being seen as a hypocrite or one of these heathens, because they already received their reward because the people around them heard them. They're praying to be heard. They're not praying to be heard by God. They're praying to be heard by people. Next one is in the Acts is confession. This is important. Confessing our sins. Why? Because we have to clean the slate before God. Every time we come to him, we have to clean the slate before God. Not saying that we're always going to have some terrible sin to confess, but there needs to be some confession. God, you know what? I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect, but as Proverbs 28:13 says, there's something to be said for confession. says, but he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Go to God and just open up your heart and say, you know what? Like David said, if there be any evil way in me, you know what? Sometimes I'm blinded, Lord. I can't see it, but if there is, forgive it and help me to see it so I can change. But if you know it, say, God, you know what? I'm sorry. I messed up. Help me to get this taken care of. Help me to get this out of my life, and let's move forward from here. Okay. God says, fine, let's go. Next is thanksgiving. This model moves on in a very easy, logical progression. Being thankful is emphasized repeatedly in exhortations to pray. Ephesians 5:20. Let's see what that has to say. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. All right. The antidote to anxiety is to pray for everything with thanksgiving. That will help us with our anxious thoughts, our anxious hearts, is to start to be thankful for even the things that make us worry, even those things that make us anxious. Be thankful to God for the times we're caught off guard and actually start to have to be concerned in life. The times we're tested, the times we're actually put through some hardship. Say, God, I thank you for this. You know, I don't know the reasoning behind it, but you know what? I thank you for this season that I have to actually trust in you to get me through this. I can't get through it on my own, and I know that, but I thank you for the fact that I have to now lean on you harder than I had to last week. Because that's going to help me to strengthen my relationship with you. So that's what it's about. We can't discount the importance of thanksgiving in our prayers, especially if we expect God to answer us as we make requests for future blessings. It's always important for us to thank Him for answered prayers too. If we don't make it a point to thank Him for answered prayers from past prayers, then you know what? He's going to feel a little bit heartbroken. It's something that we need to do. Part of that beginning, the adoration, is something that is a praise thing too. Our prayers need to have some sort of element of praise. Lord, I thank you. I praise you for the fact that, you know what, last month we were praying for Joe's friend's mother. And you know what? You came through miraculously. And she's being heralded by doctors as a miracle. And Lord, we know it was you, and we thank you for that. And then our prayer moves on. And then S, supplication. It's when we move into praying for others, praying for ourselves. But unless we do the confession and everything, we can't open our hearts up to pray for others because we're not right with God. And that's where the next verses in that Matthew 6 take up. It says, you know what? God won't hear you if you don't clear the air. For if you, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's pretty hard stuff. Making supplication, we are encouraged to let our requests be known to God. We need to let God know our hearts, even though He knows our requests before we can even think of them. We are still encouraged to let Him know them. Not necessarily in some circles, and I don't say that as a joke, prayer circles, do we need to let all the details be known, because sometimes it's just bait for gossip. Some church prayer chains and some church prayer circles, whatever you want to call it, need to just have the basic information. God doesn't need to know all the details when you pray in certain circumstances like that. Why? Because we are human. And certain people may be actually susceptible to the gossip bug. And all of a sudden the prayer chain turns into a gossip chain. Instead of doing what it was supposed to do, it ends up being a rumor mill. And that's not good. So when you bring those prayer requests to the prayer chain, it's probably best that, you know what, you bring the basic details. Not saying that it's going to happen, but why tempt it? That's where I have always stood when it comes to prayer chain requests. God knows all the details. Sure, we need to pray for them, but do we need to give all the details over the prayer request line? No, we don't. We need to pray for it, yes, but in detail, no. Sure, share the details with your close friends and maybe your pastor, but the entire prayer chain? No. And we are commanded to make supplications for all men. God tells us we need to pray for the entire world. We need to pray for all of our enemies. We need to pray for everyone. All those who aren't saved yet, we need to pray for everyone. Friends, enemies, Christians, pre-Christians, whatever. So, with the aid of this simple acronym, ACTS, we should never forget the purpose of prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's the purpose of prayer. Tell God we adore Him, confess our sins, our need for Him, give thanksgiving, and then supplication. So, there we go. There's our first sermon in our series. And next week, we'll pick up with either the power of prayer. I haven't decided whether it's going to be called the power of prayer yet or what. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the fact that we have the gift, the power, the tool, the weapon of prayer. Because it is all those things that You've given to us. Now, as we go from here, may we remember to pray, first and foremost. May we remember to pray thoughtfully and effectively. And Lord, may we always remember that You are there for us at all times to help us whenever we need it. It's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.